Hello and welcome to podcasting. I'm Scott Jones. I'm the director of the Electronic Frontiers Forums track at DragonCon. And so I'll start off by having our panelists introduce themselves and tell us what your connection to podcasting is. And then I think after that, we'll have to back up a little bit. And just in case there's anybody in the room who isn't quite sure what it is, we'd also like to have somebody here kind of define what it is and describe how it works.
Murr, you get to go first since this is all your idea.
I'm making a name.
I don't care. You're still going first.
Explain our reason for being.
Our reason for being. Hi, I'm Murr. I'm from the Geek Foo Action Grip podcast. Cool. and the I Should Be Writing podcast, which is relatively new. And I've emailed that guy and said we should have a podcasting panel. So that's how it all became reality. Actually, Jason did some emailing too.
Yes.
Jason loves pirates.
Jason's also been drinking for a long time.
That is a lie.
No, it isn't. I sat next to you.
No, it's not. No. That's
true. What about these wild calumnies?
Beer, it's still at 8.
Good. Good. All right, somebody else introduce themselves. Evo, go.
My turn? My name is Evo Terra. I do the Dragon Page radio shows, which includes the Winging It show, cover to cover, and we also do Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm also the author of Podcasting for Dummies, which is due out on shelves November 7th, in case anybody would like to buy a copy. and a variety of other things. That's me.
For all the dummies in the room.
All of us are dummies, trust me.
My name is Patrick McLean. I do the Shaunakee podcast. This is the fanatical spelling. If anybody likes the handwriting, it's Evo's doing.
It's all me, baby.
We're us.
We're us?
Yes.
Just pass it off?
Yep, your turn.
Yeah,
Steve.
Sure.
I'll just yell.
Okay. Hi, I'm Steve Ely. I do the Escape Pod podcast.
Woo!
Whoa, people listen. Cool.
I didn't even rate on the applause.
I didn't even. Don't feel bad. we podcast short science fiction and fantasy stories. We actually buy stories from authors. And we have people narrate them, very talented people like Murr and less talented people like me. And then we give them away, and we ask for donations for it. And we are 17 episodes in now, having a lot of fun.
And
listen to us.
Paying market.
Yes, we are a paying writer's market. Woo! Many people are astounded by this. Yeah, my skills are not in
game tag.
You don't
fold
folding,
very
however.
Well, do you?
Yeah, no.
Okay. I'm telling you,
it's your turn.
My turn?
Electrocute
us all. No, it's fine. Hi, I'm Jason. I host the Random Signal podcast. The best podcast you've never heard. I'm a fan of pirates, and my podcast is mostly about sort of geek stuff mixed with like indie rock from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I mostly focus on music, but every once in a while I talk about comic books and stuff like that. So.
I mean, hey Jason,
they have their own mic, so I'm just gonna leave this one.
Jason, if all pirates look at the three girls in the front row, I too am a fan of pirates.
Pirates are so hot. You know.
Pirates are hot.
All right.
I'm Derek Colanduno, one of the hosts of Skepticality. To my left is Swoopy.
Woo!
We do a show about science and usually critical thought and debunking. We basically tell people if you think ghosts are real, you're kind of crazy.
We're gonna get
ourselves into trouble today.
But pirates are real.
Pirates are real. We are also on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, run by that man right there, Michael Stackpole.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Swoopy. I'm the other part of Skepticality. I do a show also called Whimsicality, where if you believe in ghosts, it's still okay. I'm also the host of the Project podcast, which is for the Project music label.
I'm Michael R. Menengay. I'm the other half of the Dragon Page, which I don't know why we got split up.
The lesser half.
Oh, boy, I tell you what. We do the Dragon Page cover to cover, the Winging It, and Slice of Sci-Fi.
You're done.
I'm done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Bye.
So what are we supposed to be?
Back to you, Mer.
Yeah, Mer, it's okay. All you.
Yeah, it's all you.
That took 15 okay. minutes. Now.
just for the two people in the room who need it, what is podcasting and how does it work?
Why do I get stuck with this? Oh, yeah. All right.
You wrote the book.
Yes. I know.
Now so, it's being edited as he speaks.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Over to the dummy.
The process of podcasting is pretty simple. It's delivering media content, and that media can be audio files, which all of us up here do. It can also be video files, which at least one of us up here has experimented with, Patrick. Or basically any sort of large media file you can think of. And it's delivered to people that subscribe to it. Subscriptions are usually for free. In fact, 99.9% of the time they're for free. And it was delivered to your computer automatically. You can then choose to listen to it on your computer, watch it on your computer, or transfer it to the portable media player device of your choice, such as an iPod or... Okay, somebody pull out an iRiver, because we have like 17 up here, right? Yeah, so whatever it happens to be, iRivers, MP3 players, it doesn't really matter, iPods, anything can play those things. So in a nutshell, you are getting, for the moment, primarily audio content that is customized. It's not the same crap you get on AM, FM, and even satellite radio. And it's not I'm griping because my shows are on satellite radio.
Wait a minute.
I know.
I was gonna say.
But I'm saying standard crap that's on those things. It's a lot of new stuff you can't hear anywhere else. It's specialized audio content that you make the overt choice to subscribe to. Not just because you happen to be listening when you're driving in your car. You are making a choice to listen to these shows.
Yeah, this afternoon we were talking about a whole bunch of stuff. There's two things to mention about podcasting. One, it's a technology that really isn't technological at all.
No.
I mean, it's technology that's been around, so it's just sort of, I post a file and someone goes, I have this program that's going to check every once in a while to see what Patrick's ranting about, and he's got something, I'll download it and listen to it.
Usually zombies.
Yeah, mostly zombies.
It's occasional. Has anybody in the room heard my podcast other than the people behind the table? Hey, one!
One guy! Three guys!
Wait till next week.
That's right.
None of the cute pirates in the front row, though, and I'm very disappointed.
Must suck to be you.
He has podcasting.
We should talk about pirates.
I have talked about.
He will be talking about pirates next week.
Sometimes
he will definitely be talking about.
Sometimes zombies or pirates.
Full video. I think full video may be involved.
No,
with this week's
podcast.
It's
the full fathom death rattle of a 60 gig drive.
Definitely.
But the other thing about podcasting. I got Michael. The other thing about podcasting is if you look at traditional broadcasting, it's kind of like walking into a supermarket and you want to buy like a six-pack of beer, and they say, I'm sorry, for the next hour we're only selling bananas. Whereas podcasting is totally on demand, and you get what you want, you know, sort of when you want it and when you want to listen to it, which is also nice. Yarg.
Arg.
Don't get anything for a while.
Oh, no.
We did one today. It's out on the feed tomorrow morning. So
it's up tomorrow, yeah. We did our beer cast, which has become winging it. I don't understand that, but evidently people like to listen to us drink.
Because we're doing it tonight.
We're funny when we drink.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
They're funny.
They think so.
Hey, the whole world is funny when we drink.
So aside from the fact that we may be mildly amusing, does anybody have any questions? Why are you in this room?
Please.
Why am I here?
People listen here because we.
There you go.
Yes, actually.
As a matter of fact, we are.
This is actually being recorded.
Depends on how late we stay up tonight.
Whose show goes on?
Yes, next.
How's the since the iTunes has started doing the podcasting? How has that affected you guys? Do you like it or not? Or
you want to take that, Steve? That's probably safer if you take it.
My experience that was talked about an awful lot before it came out. The whole iTunes thing, everybody thought it was going to be like just this podcasting tsunami, and it was going to be suddenly 30 million people were going to be on everybody's podcasts. And my experience has been it has been good for podcasting. It's been mostly a slow, gradual sort of growth. The real ease, to me, the real benefit of it is simply that you can if I tell people how to subscribe to my podcast, now I can just say, do you have iTunes? Okay, go to the directory. Type in Escape Pod.
Exactly.
There we are. I don't have to tell people, okay, download a podcatcher, paste this thing into your thing. A lot of people who already have podcatchers prefer using them to iTunes because if you've already been doing it a certain way, then that's what you're used to. I don't really listen on iTunes much, but again, it's a convenience for people. And it hasn't really revolutionized podcasting. It's just made it a little bit easier to tell people how to get to it.
I think sometimes it depends on the content as well. We went from about 6,000 subscribers to about 30-plus thousand when iTunes came out within a month.
That's why we hate them.
Yeah, just rub it in.
But to answer that question, 92% of our statistics come directly from iTunes now.
And that's
huge.
And that stands in stark contrast to what Mike and I do with Slice of Sci-Fi and Dragon Page shows. Only about 50% of the people that we have listen to us via iTunes. We got most of our subscriber base way before iTunes came out. Really? Well, that's great. No, I love all the iTunes subscriber, and you know, if you're using iTunes, that's great. It was a royal pain in the ass for everybody up here for about 2 weeks to figure out what to do for iTunes, and now we're in there, and that's great. If you use iTunes and you love it, wonderful. At some point in time, you might want something a little more than what iTunes gives you, and there are a lot of other clients out there to choose from, which are also free.
Well, who out there listens to the Dragon Page? All right.
Holy shit!
How many of you are listening on other means besides podcasting?
Who listens to us on XM Satellite? Anybody?
Yeah, who's on XM?
Right on. All podcasters. Love it.
All podcasters. Good stuff.
What I'll say, too, about iTunes that's interesting is if you have a music-related podcast and with independent artists that are also on iTunes, people who are looking for music will also find your show. So it's good for the artist, and it's good for people looking for similar content to what they're already listening to. And iTunes does make that easy.
Yes.
Introduce a podcast with music. How do you get around, you know, the...
that part? No, this is a really great question, and there are really great answers to this.
Yes.
A couple of really interesting things have happened. One, I know a whole bunch of musicians. There's a couple of sites. I can't... Podcastmusic.net is not up yet. But there's all these people who are, you know, composers, and they don't have any other way to get their music out.
GarageBand.com.
So they're writing all kinds of music that we can use.
GarageBand.com.
Yep.
And the rest of them are in South America.
Well, the only music podcast.
Bila.com.
In my personal experience, the way I get around it is that I contact bands directly and get permission straight from the artists to play their stuff. They're all independent bands who aren't signed to major record labels. Also, if they are bands that have music as a free download on their site officially from the band or from the record label, then that's kind of, I sort of make the assumption that that's safe because they're giving it to anybody who wants it, and so then I can use it. But in most cases, I get permission directly from the bands.
It's always easier to beg forgiveness than to ask permission.
Yeah, but it also lands you in a major lawsuit. Swoopy, I know, does Project Podcast, which is actually licensed music, as in ASCAP, BMI, Henry Houdini, whoever the hell it is that owns that thing. Why don't you tell us, Swoop?
Well, there are a couple of different ways to go about it. You can get licensed through BMI and the other organizations. They have an internet music license that's somewhat lesser than traditional licenses would be, and they aren't by the download, which with internet radio, when that began, got so expensive that internet radio broadcasters couldn't play because they had to pay the RIAA. I have permission from the label where all of my music comes from, and I have the permission of the artists. So most people are licensed. Some people are not licensed. The other part is most of the music podcasting is to the benefit of the artist because we're promoting them and we're not getting paid for what we're doing. We're pretty much putting it out there for everybody to know about them. So it's free advertising for them. Most artists are really good about it.
Yeah, pretty much everyone understands that. For
there's an interesting one here, though, that somebody might not have mentioned, the cover band issue. Even if a big name covers a song and it's licensed, that's the only license you can get for big name license and you can pay for. You can pay BMI and ASCAP, and if it's a cover of another song, no matter who does it, the Rolling Stones, you know, Nine Inch Nails, it doesn't matter who, as long as you've registered with ASCAP and BMI, you can actually play that stuff, and they have licenses that are about $400 a year.
But if you want to play music from the Brobdingnagian Bards, Mark's okay with that, aren't you, Mark? Yeah! Woo!
There's a question.
Ah,
no, come on. No, you're on the spot. I'll give you the microphone.
I'll get one over here.
We're going to have a question. Okay. Question.
I found out about most of your podcasts through the Science Fiction Podcast Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's hear it from Mike. See if I can't crack him up again.
Yeah. But my question to follow that up is, obviously the network got me on to your podcast. So have you noticed, your chance about the iTunes, have you noticed anything from that? And do you see these sort of networks and collections of podcasts as being kind of a way for this to go, because it's a really nice clearinghouse for, because I don't get mine through iTunes at all.
Well, the difficulty with podcasting is finding good podcasts,
yeah.
And what something like TSFPN does is it gives a filter, and it's like, okay, well, you know that here is a perspective, and it's basically Michael's perspective on what a good podcast is, which is fine, because you just want somebody to go, hey, all these things are good, because I don't, you know, I spend my time sort of, nobody in the room knows what I do. I do an original piece of fiction each week, but it's produced like radio theater. Actually, it's kind of like radio spots, usually 4 to 6 minutes long, and they're really they're sort of very intense audio stories. I don't have time to listen to all the podcasts out in the world. I can't go. I wish I did, but so even you know, for us, finding like good stuff is tough.
Sometimes it's hard to tell, because a lot of people have complained that they podcast, but they don't hear anything back from feedback. And
no
so
kidding.
if you're not getting emails, and you can look at your stats and find out how many people are downloading, but you don't know where they're coming. If they found you through iTunes, or they found you, you can find out where they're downloading from. But and so I've gotten a couple of emails saying I found you through TSFPN, but other than that, I have no idea. So if you like podcasts, email your podcaster, because they love it, because that's the only payment we get, really.
Yeah.
So, and it makes us feel all fuzzy.
I do my best to email any podcast I like, because I like it when people email me from my blog.
Yeah.
No, exactly. It's the exact same reason. I've started doing that myself. I subscribe to about 54 podcasts.
Yeah. Approximately.
It's pretty disgusting. But I have started emailing each one of those, even the new ones that I've discovered, just to let them know that I'm listening and that I really enjoy what they're doing. Or sometimes I tell them what I think they're doing wrong. I mean, that's okay. We need that sort of feedback. We do not think, well, maybe we do think we're perfect. But anyhow, that's a different discussion. But we're willing to accept your criticism. We're also willing to reject your criticism. However, if you do listen to podcasts, I strongly suggest send an email to the person. Just say, hey, I'm listening and I like it, or what you don't like. Be honest, be open, and we're happy to hear that kind of stuff. I mean, that's how I met this guy with Patrick. I emailed him and said, dude, I like what you're doing, you know, and it was a great conversation we started. In fact, I think everybody on this panel, that's how I met all of them, because I've known everybody on here, I think, with the exception of Jason, who Murr kind of sucked into this whole thing and got me in that way.
Yeah,
before,
no one really knows who I am.
No one knows who Jason is.
He says he knows everybody,
except for the pirates.
This is the first time we've met.
Yeah, we all met physically for the first time, today.
You got the biggest cheers. How can you say that?
Matt, really? Jason, man of mystery, associate of pirates. He associates with pirates.
Well, I've got a
question.
It's
actually good to have pirates as friends. That's all I'm saying.
No one messes with you. I've got a question. I think this could be illustrative. Out of all you guys, how many of you have podcasts? Anybody?
All right!
Yes!
Yeah!
Now, my other question, how many people are here because they're interested in learning how to podcast? Yeah,
nope.
So I think
November 7, 2005, Podcasting for Dummies available.
Well, before, then we can start to talk about it a little bit. So do we want to talk about that some, about what the basic ground
what?
Steps are? Yeah.
You'll want to listen to him before you see him. But anyhow, go ahead.
Yeah, grab a few first. Go ahead.
I apologize for him.
It's the scotch.
It's all right. It's 4 years of hell.
Having a bunch of audio stories in MP3s on your website,
Yes.
Yes and no, actually.
Yeah. Right. Depends on how you want to define it. Go ahead. Storyteller. Sean Aki.
Do you want to do this? Or you want me to?
Sure. We got storytellers too.
Honestly, the hard part's getting the MP3 files done.
Yeah, no kidding.
Podcasting is just a way to distribute something.
Yeah. I actually
do it both ways.
Yeah. I've done like
a book. Both ways.
Yeah. I'm doing a few book reviews about podcasting books on Slashdot. And the interesting thing is a lot of online culture, basically the same comments always come up, which is, what's really new about this? You guys are taking audio files, you're throwing them on the web. People have been doing that since, 1998. What's the big deal here? And, from a certain perspective, they're absolutely right. There isn't really anything revolutionary about it, except for the ability, you put it on an RSS feed. If you don't know what RSS is, it's a very basic little bit of code that just, it updates every time you put a new podcast out, you update this little bit of code, people can have applications that go and check that. And that brings it down onto your iPod or onto your iRiver or just onto your computer to listen to. The only thing that's different between podcasting and any other form of audio on the internet is that you can subscribe to it and it automatically comes down to your computer.
Now, RSS is like the flag on the mailbox. Every time there's something new, you go, yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
To give you a little bit more, because it's asking for me, a friend of us has been busy making content for a show we're calling Autobiorama, Real Stories by the People Who Live There.
Cool.
And we've got one episode already done. It's already aired on Community Radio WMNF Tampa Bay.
Wow. Perfect.
And, we've got a commitment that as soon as we're podcasting, it'll be on Sirius Radio. We got a site.
That's a good start.
Do you want to sit? Do you want to come up here?
Seriously, come on. Come on, you can have my chair. Come on.
Podcast hosting, what am I missing? What do I need to know?
Nothing.
You're there.
Sounds like you're doing it.
You're good.
Yeah. There are a few guides online. Podcast 411 is a good site for people just looking for basic start from ground zero information. There are
podcast411.com.
Yeah. There's a few good books out there right now. There's a few not so good books. November 7th, there's another book coming out. So it's not too hard to find information about just how to get started with it. Basically, the real learning curve is not in getting the files out there. The real learning curve is in how to tell good stories or create good content, whatever it is. If you have a music podcast, whatever it is, cool. Yeah, if
you're done.
Yeah, have something.
I mean, you got good audio quality. You're done.
Yeah, have something you want
go.
To say.
Or come up here. You're done. Yeah. You're there.
Yeah, have something you want to say.
You got all the problems licked.
Put it into sound.
I wasn't saying go to you, sir.
No, realistically, if you already have the audio files done, you need to know one URL, and that's libsyn.com, LIBSYN. Great, you're done. You are totally done. Never mind. Next question.
And you're done. Seriously, why there? Actually, he's got a question.
I think she's here quizzing us.
This is a test.
Well,
a lot of challenges.
Using Skype's easy. It's recording Skype.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Skype, unfortunately, should be easier to record than it is, but it's not. You can record one side of the conversation, yours, but in order to get to the second side of the conversation, Skype is, for those who don't know what it is, it's a voice over internet protocol, VOIP, VoIP, right? And a VoIP means you can have a conversation with somebody else across the world.
For free.
Totally free. You dial them up, you got a broadband connection, he or she has a broadband connection, and you're connected and you're rolling. You can record that, but it's kind of complicated to get that person talking as well as you talking. Now, there are ways to do it. There are a variety of applications you can get. Soundflower, you can get Audio Hijack Pro, a hundred other things that'll work that way. But it is complicated. And Skype is free. And anything that's free means it works sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you also got to keep in mind that the biggest problem we have a lot of times with Skype as podcasters is that the people on the other end don't have the same kind of equipment we do. We try to make us sound good, but a lot of people with Skype buy the $10 headset at CompUSA and say, I can talk to everybody.
Although I've got nothing bad to say about Audio Hijack Pro as a shareware app. It's like,
HP
it
works like a champ.
Rocks.
Yeah, it works very well, actually.
So talk about your hardware.
Oh, Christ.
That's kind of a personal question.
All right, before you do that, the last people to talk...
You the size of my mixer, yeah.
The last people to talk on this topic will be Derek and Michael, because they will talk for hours. Hours on end incessantly about
I'll
their hardware.
I'll start first. My setup is as simple as possible. I use Audacity, the free voice recording software you can download, and I have a $15 headset mic that I bought at Target, and that is my entire setup.
Woo!
Again, from the conversation we were having this afternoon, when people start talking about sound quality of podcasts and whatnot, and they get into the technical things too much, I think it sort of pushes people off from either doing it or getting involved, or makes them feel bad about it. And the analogy that I have is, if your friend calls you on your cell phone, the sound quality is horrible. I mean, there's nothing that sounds as bad as a cell phone. But because they're saying something you want to hear, and they're your friend, you're riveted. So the important thing is not necessarily to think about the sound quality. You can figure that out as you go. The question is, what are you trying to say and why? Of course, a voice processor and a really nice microphone preamps help.
That's actually a very good illustration there. Start, if you have a podcast you want to do, start with whatever it is you have sitting around the house. If you have a sound card and you have a Radio Shack microphone, just start recording with that. Put it out there. If you want to keep doing it after a few months, you're going to start getting the itch to go and get a mixer and all that stuff. Build up as you go. But he's right. The content is what's most important. Sound quality is just something you're going to want to improve as you move along. Escape Pod, I have like a Shure microphone. It was like $80 microphone I've had around for years, and I have like a USB interface into my Mac Mini, and that's all I've got. It sounds pretty good, I think. I want to make it better. I want to get some things to make it more efficient. And but that's a gradual process. The important thing is just start recording with whatever it is you have.
All right, Mike. All right, Derek, go ahead.
I've taken on the equipment that I use to record my podcast as another obsession, basically. If you like to collect things, don't start buying anything other than $20 equipment at CompUSA, because that's what will happen. You'll end up, I like that voice processor. And then you start getting into that whole thing. I have a rack of hardware equipment that's like basically studio equipment. I used to work in radio, though, so I kind of had that little bit of an edge, and I already kind of knew how to use it, and it was actually easier for me to use the hardware than it was to just figure out SoundFlower and the software, because I didn't know that part yet, and I actually figured out how to do that other stuff afterwards.
So you're saying you're lazy, and you're a junkie.
A lazy and a junkie, yes.
So now, knowing that the first number you heard was $15, I present my partner, Michael R. Menengay.
Yes, I've kind of gone a little overboard on that. There is one series of letters that you need to add to your vocabulary if you're going to start podcasting, and that is bswusa.com. BSW is much better than Musician's Friend, because it is the broadcast supply company that supplies broadcast equipment to the majority of the radio stations throughout the United States.
Are they paying?
You'll get about the same deals as Musician's Friend, but the nice thing about it is they have equipment that Musician's Friend that does not carry, because it's much higher end pro equipment.
So how much?
A lot.
We're,
good
us.
God, we're about I think we're pushing about $10,000 for our system.
You
right
don't
now.
Need to spend $10,000.
You do not need to spend that much.
I repeat, I have a $15 headset.
You do not need to. You do not need to spend that much on equipment. Do, because we are more than just podcasting. We are sending out to broadcast stations across the country. We send out to XM satellite radio. We send out to is our market demands us to have a very high end level of audio content. Podcasting is a little bit more forgiving. Because you're running at 22,050 for resolutions at maybe 48 or maybe 96 kilobits per second. I mean, that those numbers don't mean a lot to a lot of you, but that means that it's very low quality. It's about the equivalent of like cassette tape, maybe a little less than cassette tape.
I've been drinking all day. I'll be back.
Yeah, as a quick counterpoint to that, if you guys don't even want to mess with sound cards and recording software and things, one really cheap, easy way that is very, very popular among podcasters, if you haven't seen this thing, this is called an iRiver MP3 player.
Yes, that's a nice way.
I don't listen to MP3s on this. I have like an iPod for that, but I record on this and this cost me like $50 on eBay.
Right.
And it has an excellent MP3 encoder, so you can just plug a microphone into this, or just record straight. It's got a microphone built in.
It's twice today.
You're fine.
but it's got Pirates on his side.
Continue.
Okay. And it's got excellent MP3 encoding. You can just make an MP3 with this, download it onto your computer, put it up on the web, and you're done, if that's what you want to do.
We have a question from the pirate in the second row. Actually, the pirate, we got
One last quick point on BSW. I just want to throw this out there, is that BSW has pre-built packages for podcasting, and they start at like about $100, I think, $100 up to about like $400. They come with Peak Pro, which is a really good processing software for Mac, and they use another one for Windows. I can't remember which one it is, but a very good package of hardware that you can buy and sit down and start recording right off the bat. It's a very good economical option in getting started with a good set of equipment.
And
right,
they send
off the
you
bat.
Candy bars when you order from them.
Yeah, that's and, great.
And,
they send
and,
you
and,
order.
And they talk
Alman
about
Roca.
Them on a podcasting panel. Yeah.
Questions.
You know,
Alman Roca is a really good thing.
So. Questions. Uh-huh.
Oh,
sure. Here you go.
Excellent idea.
She's good at handwriting.
How about we write it? Someone
finally figured out what that was for.
Those of us who are drinking and won't remember to just take a picture of
that. That's
hey,
that's a great idea.
Drinking for Dummies, published by.
What I miss?
Okay.
We're making
you
fun
know,
of
you're
you.
So smart, it's kind of intimidating.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute.
Question. I had a question about. How do you guys host your podcasts?
Libsyn. Yeah.
Host is in where to put the audio file, or host is in talk to each other?
No, sorry. Where do you put the audio file up on the web? What do you do about bandwidth costs? The people who are hosting these for free, how
Evo?
Are they making money?
I want to know the answer to this question, because I just did something by default, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Libsyn.com, Libsyn.com. It charges you by the month for the amount of space you upload to it, not the total number of space or your bandwidth.
Yeah, bandwidth is totally free.
Yeah, so for like $10 or $12 a month.
It starts at $5.
Yeah, it starts at $5, and for like $10 or $12 a month, you can upload up to 100 megabytes of files to Libsyn, and then you can serve out as much bandwidth as you can handle.
Libsyn has a full package type thing where you can get a blog and the RSS and the bandwidth and the hosting. There's another one if you already have a blog or whatever, if you have something at Blogspot or whatever, Blogspot does a blog and it'll do your RSS, but you want a place to put the file. Podlot is the other one that's incredibly cheap. It's the place to park your pod. Yeah, I think
it's got
so.
It's got a fancy name.
Yeah, I know. I haven't even been drinking much. But
drink more.
That's okay. No,
I want to say too, though. I mean, people talk about it's not necessary to go with one of these services. If you just happen to have web space somewhere, you can start just putting up on your own web space.
Well, that can
be
backfire.
Yeah.
If it gets popular, you're gonna want to stop doing it.
Yeah. I bumped it. What was it? 99% in June.
Sorry.
Yeah, we hit 99% in June. I was nearly in a lot of trouble. But Podlot won't give you any of the bells and whistles. It's just hosting, and they're $5 a month as well.
Yeah. You know, Merbring brought up a great point, especially because Podlot forces you to, but Libsyn doesn't. Okay. Libsyn offers you a feed, and unfortunately, I unfortunately used it, and now everybody has it. But if you make your own RSS, even if you host on a place like Libsyn or Podlot, don't use their feed, because if they go out of business, then everybody is subscribed to a feed on that server, pointed at files on that server. If you have another hosting method to host your own XML and just point to their hosting service, that's the best way to go, because if Libsyn ever goes out of business because they're offering $10 a month for what we use up about 4 terabytes a month, for $10 a month.
And that's really complicated. So if you don't know what the hell he's talking about, see us afterwards, and we'll
it's a pretty important point though, because we're kind of trapped into that already. But that's a big worry of mine.
Question and question.
My question is: I listen to a lot of different podcasts, a lot of different production values. Where,
but
like,
not mine, huh?
No. Where
at least once per episode the neighbors get into a shouting match, or the dog starts barking,
that's us.
Gardeners, the goddamn gardeners.
I guess my question is, and I know Murr's opinion on this, I think, to edit or not to edit?
Edit, for Christ's sake. Actually,
definitely
edit your ass off.
Edit and edit again.
We edit unless it's comically worth it not to edit.
I have found in my own personal experience.
Okay. This is kind of a... Well, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but it's. I feel bad telling this story. There's a guy in another city from where I live in. Yeah, that's vague enough. And he had a podcast. He emailed me, and he said that he really liked my podcast, and he had done a podcast. It was very different, but, you know, would I check it out? So I listened to it, and it turned out to be a podcast that was all about this breakup he was going through. Which is exactly not what I'm looking for in a podcast. Or life, really. But it actually was very well produced, and as I'm listening to this guy tell this story of this, you know, he's sort of spinning the tale. He's telling the story of this magical first date, you know, in a way that no first date has ever been this magical before. And you know, there's moonlight shining down, and some gypsy violinist wanders in from somewhere, and they're about to have their first kiss. Yeah, stage left, about to have their first kiss. And as he's telling the story about, you know, being in this wonderful park, and he just kind of goes. It goes on as if he's done nothing wrong. And then I literally fell out of my chair, and I realized that not only had he done that and kept going, he posted it. Please edit.
Please edit, yes.
In one way, it was really very honest and very sweet. You're never going to hear anything like that on the radio. But it totally wrecked all the sympathy I had for the guys.
I'll offer a partial counterpoint. It really depends on what your purpose is, what your goals are. I mean, if your goal is just to do like a personal daily journal kind of, don't, you know, if it feels better for you not to edit and it suits your style better, then don't. I will say that if it is your purpose to come off sounding like a polished, you know, product, I produce short science fiction stories. I strive for audiobook quality with our stuff, so I edit the hell out of my podcasts.
Yeah, by all means.
But if it suits your style not to, then don't. If you're good and if you're clever, I mean, some of the most popular podcasts.
The
out
most
there,
popular podcast. Yeah. Adam Curry's Daily Source Code.
Yeah,
zero edits.
He felt every time and then plugs Senseo.
Yeah, some of the most popular podcasts don't edit, but they happen to be brilliant too. Yeah. If you're brilliant, don't edit. You know, if that works for you. I can't say that
don't
you are
listen
not,
to Adam so. Curry because he doesn't edit. Okay, actually, I'm sorry. He has a question. Yeah.
Mine's related to this.
And that, okay. You're up.
Y'all sound like you, for the most part, do most of it the first time around.
Yes.
And I'm sorry.
You sound like you do most of it the first time around, and I was wondering if you had any tips on how to move towards that, because I don't want to spend 8 hours every week editing my show to make it work. how do you get away from that and towards a good show, getting the first time?
Hardware.
Wow.
Yeah, hardware.
Hardware.
Yeah.
You've got to have a spot server.
I'm going to let this go.
Wait. How does hardware stop you from
music?
Saying
Huh? Well,
there's
this electric shock thing.
Are you?
Well, that's a good thing. Is your question based
I'm
on
a big fan of
you
want
to
right
know
now.
How to not have to talk for 3 hours to get enough content that is actually useful? The best way to do that is actually time yourself and give yourself a limit.
Yep.
And if you believe it or not, when you're forced to talk faster, you go and and a lot less. Yeah, when you force it, you say, I got 30 minutes, I'm going to do it.
My answer to that is write what you're trying to say. Script it. Honestly, write it down. And you know, for me, I'm writing pieces of fiction, so I'll write it, I'll read it, I'll rewrite it, I'll rewrite it again, I'll record it, and I'll go, oh, man, that sentence is bad. Now I have to re-record it again. It actually doesn't take that long, but if you write it out, you stand a much, much better chance. So some of us worked in radio. I actually worked as a radio announcer in, like, high school in, like, the worst radio station on the face of the earth. But everything that I read, I wrote out first because there's just so many screwy things that happen if you're trying to talk off the top of your head.
Well, I think it also depends on where your strength lies. If you're a good writer and you feel like you can write a show faster than you could edit a whole lot of talking, you know, I think it goes either way. I mean, I do things that are completely scripted, but I find that it takes me just as long to write them as it would have been if I just edited the random crap that came out of my mouth.
And even if you don't write everything down and script the entire thing, show notes.
Yeah.
Make an outline.
Yeah, definitely.
What you want to talk about. If you do not have a plan, It could go 5 minutes. It could go 5 hours. You have no idea until it starts coming out your mouth. So you write down the things you want to talk about, and you stick with that plan. If it varies, you know, stop, figure out, you know, change your show notes, but to have a plan. Outlines, I can't stress enough how important outlines are.
And if you do script stuff to read, I know I do this. I don't know how many others do. Type it in all capitals and double space it. Believe it or not, it's easier to read all capitals off a piece of paper cold than it is to read capitalized sentences with lowercase, capitalized sentences with lowercase, because your brain tries to speed read when it's all different shapes. So it's actually a common trick in broadcasting to capitalize everything because it's a smooth line across the top, and your brain reads it a lot more fluidly.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah,
okay, here we go. This is an equipment question. Take it back from him. He's my partner. We're working on several different podcasts, but what he's doing is really sit down, narrate. What I am doing involves live recording inside a club. And I need to take equipment out to plug into their mixing board, as well as a microphone input to record the crowd sounds.
You're a very brave man.
I've already done one, and it was a lot of fun. It's a blast.
Honestly, what'd you do? I mean, what equipment did you use? Like, let's see if you have any suggestions. Because that sounds, I mean, I have an idea what I do, but that sounds pretty challenging.
I don't like the piece that I got. Unfortunately, I can't take it back. I'm stuck with it. It's the MX-8. And the problem that I ran into is I can only record two channels, left, right, or mono and microphone mono. I can't do a stereo and a microphone, and that's what I need to do. That's what I want to do.
I think stereo is overrated because you can place whatever you have.
I was going to say, I'd do it in two mono channels and then split your mono channel, your music channel up into a stereo feed in post-production. That way you'll get a mono and a mono, and then if you do like a dry stereo plate, and break your music mono music track up into a stereo, you'll get a really nice effect off of that.
Yeah, because you just need to put the crowd noise in the background. It needs to come through both speakers equally, and then you can move whoever around you.
I get what you're saying. For the crowd, staying mono is fine. But on some, we're talking about dance music, right and left separation are two separate things.
The reality is, recording things live is an art.
Yes.
I mean, there are people that are paid gazillions of dollars a year to go record things, and most things you hear as a live track on the radio isn't live.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just not the reality. I mean, they can't get the same kind of quality you can get inside of a studio. You can do it, but it takes a lot of equipment, you know, and nobody up here that I know of records that kind of stuff live. I mean, hell, when Mike and I do a live beer cast, this is my live recorder. We sit at the middle of the table and we talk.
I'm going to get one.
Now,
dude, $100.
Now,
sweet.
That's probably an advanced enough question. You probably want to find someone who has done that sort of thing. Posting like the rec.audio.pro news group or something like that. Find someone. This is probably
Put podcastrigs.com up there. That's a good one.
That's a good one because I helped develop that a little bit.
That's a great site. You know, I would try just throwing a single mic in the back of the room and seeing how that worked out too. But I wing everything.
I'd try and get you a couple of really tight hypercartoid microphones, something that's got really tight.
Hypercartoid. Everybody wrote that down.
Is that
right?
Cartoid or
cardioid?
Yeah. Something Marantz. That's got a really tight pattern to it, so that it only you speaking into the microphone directly. What's that one that you just bought?
I have
you
it right
got
here.
It, you actually. Got it right here. There it is.
Yeah,
you can take it home with you.
There you go.
Everybody look at Derek's really tight pattern.
It's got a lot of off-axis noise rejection.
Derek's got a big stick.
Basically, in layman's terms, if I held this microphone plugged in like this, and everybody in the crowd started to talk, you would barely hear it. If I pointed it at him and he talked while you guys were all loud, you would only hear him. And it's a specialized microphone for that. This is the microphone they use whenever you see, where are you going? I'm going to Disneyland, and yet you're in the Superdome, and everybody's like as loud as they possibly can, and you hear the broadcasters talk. This is what they use. It's a Sennheiser MD46. And these are not as expensive as you would think they are. They're under $200. So.
That's well.
eBay is your friend. When you do podcasting, eBay
honestly,
is your friend.
You need to be on the other side of this table.
We had another question back there in the back.
Just kind of tying into what you're talking about, how much time each week do you guys all spend editing and doing
Do you have a life now?
I'm lucky if I can get a podcast every week, but yeah, I'm in the minority.
That's the problem. Let's take that down the table.
I had a life 4 years ago. I gave it up.
Let's just go down the table.
All right. I think it's a good idea. We'll just go down and say how long it takes for each of us. Now, again, my partner's on the other end of the table, so you'll get another answer from him as it comes on here, right?
Yeah.
But recording the podcast are pretty simple. Mike and I get together every Saturday afternoon, or usually morning and afternoon, as well as Tuesdays. And so the total time we spend in studio equals out to about 7 to 8 hours a week to record all three shows. Right? I usually tell people that for every 1 hour of show you want to do, or every 1 minute you want to do, take that times five. That's a good average number for how long it'll take you to record it and edit and get it together. Now, there's all the other things that go along with it, like maintaining the websites, making sure the XML feeds are upright and properly, and you're and all that. At least another 10 hours a week that goes into that. So me personally, I put between 18 and 20 hours in, 20 hours in every single week for the three podcasts that I do, not to mention the new things on Podiobooks I'm about to start doing. My life sucks.
I guess I would start off and say that for a living, I write advertising. I write radio spots, and I'll book talent, and I'll write a radio spot, and I'll get the client to buy off on it. We'll go into a studio, and I will take an hour to record a 60-second radio spot. These are with people who are professionals at recording everything. We've got everything we need. It's $300-$350 bucks an hour for studio time. Everything clips along as fast as I can. So it's an hour to record that 1 minute for what, you know, we do. I probably spend a good 8 to 10 hours a week recording a 4 to 6 minute podcast. Actually, not recording, it's writing it. Oh, God, it's more than that. It's writing, rewriting.
Yeah, let's
and then, yeah, oh, I have no life. But in terms of the recording that 4 to 6 minute podcast, it's probably about 4 hours. And then there's all the other web stuff that I just screw up left, right, and center. I mean, one of the nice things about my listeners is when I mess something up, they're like, hey, you know, you pointed to the wrong MP3 file.
Again.
I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. It's a chunk of time, but I think that the reason that we're all up here is that, I mean, you can do a podcast and you can just sort of just, you know, say something you want to say and record it on iRiver and throw it out there, but we're all really trying to do specific things. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I let lots of mistakes go because I got to get the damn thing done. Help me find it.
Yeah, my case is a little bit skewed because, again, mine is essentially a science fiction magazine as well, so I also have to edit a slush pile in addition to the sound production and all that stuff. So between, like, yeah, well, I mean, reviewing the stories first and then, you know, getting contracts out to writers and getting them back and then emailing them to argue about the contracts and then, yeah. And then often, sometimes I'll record it myself, and sometimes I will hand it off to somebody else to record. Still got to do intros and outros for it. Probably per story that I accept, it could go anywhere from between like 4 hours to 8 hours for that story, depending on if I recorded it myself or I got someone talented like Murr to read it. What's that? The stories are, the longest story I did was about 40 minutes. They probably average around 20 minutes. The podcast averages about 30 minutes or so. 3,000 word is a perfect length for us, really. We run stories between 2,000 and about 6,000 words. The longest one we did was close to 8,000, and that was the one that took about like 45 minutes to do. So, yeah, again, our sweet spot is between 2 and 6,000. We also do flash stories under 1,000 words. I have flyers here, so, you know, feel free to talk to me about it later. But again, the actual podcasting part is very different from all the administrative stuff that goes around it, too. So that's me.
Yeah, I have... Sorry. Sure.
Okay. Actually, I had a question for Mr. Stackpole here.
So you thought you were getting out of this panel, yeah. Didn't you? Huh?
Yeah,
nice
try, Mike.
By the way, you do a great podcast. The Secrets is a very good podcast as well. But I was going to ask about... the Sci-Fi Podcast Network. I mean, it's a great model for something that, you know, that I think is very valuable in for podcasts is to help people find podcasts. I was kind of wondering what your motivation was for doing it and what your, you know, future plans are. Is this a, what was your intention for? Is it something, you know, that might become profitable?
Stacks
someday,
of money.
Just because you love
stacks
to do it?
Stacks and stacks of money.
As I was going out and looking for directories to put The Secrets on so people could find it, I was noticing that science fiction and everything else was just all over the place. You could go to one directory and science fiction shows would be classified one place, et cetera, et cetera. So they were all over. And listening to them and knowing that there was good audio content out there and how to write shows and shows about television shows and movies, I wanted a place where you could bring them all together. And talking to Michael and Evo, because they're in the same city that I'm in, having seen their rig, and Michael was great in spending my money on what I had to buy for.
That was a lot of fun.
For equipment,
looking
yeah.
forward to upgrading you anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah, yeah. yeah, but in essence, you know, we got together and we talked about it, and what we decided in putting together the network and really the driving force was to get really good quality shows that I knew fans of science fiction would really, really like. And the other thing is that for us, providing the shows to the network, we get to leverage our audience against everybody else's. You know, these guys, when somebody's listening to Dragon Page and they hear that this show is, you know, part of the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, then they're going to go to the website and they're going to see all the other shows. So it's a lot of exposure. So that's what we want. As far as future plans go, probably by the 10th of September, we'll roll out the Gaming Podcast Network. We're also, my partners and I are looking at doing a number of other networks like that. Again, the whole idea is find the quality shows, you know, put them together so it becomes a one-stop shopping place to find content.
Does your funding, your profitability come from online advertising? Is that what you're trying to do?
That's where we hope to make it profitability. Right now,
profitability?
Can you define that for me? Yeah. I'm familiar with this. Tell me of this profitability.
Well, this I still haven't paid off my $15 headset mic.
You know, whereas for me, The Secrets, because of the money that I get for subscriptions to The Secrets newsletter, I'm already profitable, and I'm probably $1,000 into equipment. So, you know, this is one of the things that people who say you can't make money podcasting, this is only true if you have nothing to sell. If you
have
something to sell.
I have shirts with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've already seen someone wearing that shirt today. Who wasn't you?
There you go.
It wasn't me. I wore mine yesterday.
Zena fans.
Awesome.
But I see no Evo is my Yoda t-shirts. All right. I'm a little upset by that. But.
Let's go on the table. Finish that.
Yeah. All right.
What was the question?
How long does it take? I have, for those who don't know, my podcast is me talking about geeky things for 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes. And then I read an essay, like a 4-minute, 1,000-word essay that I've written. The essay can take anywhere from several hours to fret about, and then 30 minutes to write, and then the podcast takes whatever, you know, half an hour to record, and then editing and putting it all together is about 3 hours. That's about it, uploading, all that stuff, so.
See, when I do my podcast, I usually end up starting at like 8 or 9 and it finish around midnight. I don't pre-script any of my podcasts. I just sort of, because if I did, I would have never done my first podcast because I'd still be trying to figure out what I was going to say on my first podcast. So I just sort of do off the top of my head and then I edit out the ums because when I talk, I kind of like pause between words like this, and then after that, you know, so I do that, and then I put it on online, and then it takes me like an hour to figure out how I'm gonna post the show notes for my blog, and it takes like 3-4 hours, but that's because I do like minimal preparation ahead of time and don't have a whole lot to say when it comes right down to it.
Podcast is actually quite good.
Yes.
It's all music. That's why.
Your marketing is underselling yourself, isn't it?
and I like pirates. Have I mentioned that?
I suck and I like pirates. That's your whole marketing campaign.
And it really
Brilliant.
Set the bar.
It works. Yeah.
If you have parents on your side, you can suck.
Our show is, I think, actually, you know, Michael and Evo do a show that's kind of similar to ours in a way as well. Our show is mainly interviews, and we interview like scientists and university professors and book authors
thinkers.
Like James Randi and people like that. And a lot of our time goes into the front end because we have to read books and sound at least semi-smart enough to ask a question to a guy who's devoted his entire life to a topic about science.
That's why we interview fiction.
So sometimes it we kind of feel like, oh, geez, if we didn't edit, we'd okay, let me leaf through my notes. Oh, this sounds good. Okay, let me ask that question. But that takes a considerable amount of our time just up front because we do have to know enough about that person's life and what they do work on as a scientist or as whatever they do for their life's research. So that part does take a while. But if you took away that piece and all of the prep that we have to do for that part,
you're
it probably takes us about 4 hours.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're on, but no.
No. From the after we get, well, that's not including the interview, though.
Well, and,
so.
And the web and the
well, yeah, and but I mean, that's just the non-interview piece.
And no. Give me this.
Now reality sets in.
Honestly, it just says, so you study mammals? They've got warm blood?
I think it might also be that we separate out our parts, and if you added together the time... If you added together the time that he spends and the time that I spend, it would take a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Who spends more time?
Because she does the news. And
me. Because I usually actually read the book, too, and I also...
I didn't go there.
When I give up the microphone.
I knew that was a bad question when I asked it.
So, let's see, I'll use my other show that isn't Skepticality as a model, and I've actually crammed it all into one day before, like, recording and editing and posting and doing the whole thing from beginning to end, and I didn't get any sleep. I'd say about 20 hours, because I have to listen to the music, I have to set up an interview with the person, I have to talk to the person, I have to arrange my questions, I have to edit the interview, I have to mix the music, I have to post the feed, I have to update my show notes, I have to, and it's really, really fun, and you should do it, because it's very rewarding, and I think the biggest thing is, even if you're not doing it for profit, and you're doing it as a hobby just because you want to, it's so worth it, because you get to meet all sorts of cool people that you never thought you'd meet, that are very kind and very generous with their time, more so than you ever might imagine, and there's some other people in the back of the room that should be up here who are getting a good taste of that here, and they do the Signal podcast for the,
Yay,
for the Serenity
Signal
movie. And they're all back there in the back. And they got to talk to people in this fantastic movie that just packed the ballroom today. All these people came to see these people, but they actually talked to them on the phone, and they were on their podcast. So there's plenty of reasons to do it. You may give up your free time, but
life.
It's still worth it. It's still worth it, though.
No lie about that.
You know, I didn't have
actually. I don't have a whole lot more to add to that. I mean, it's actually what she said. There's a lot of pre-production. There's a lot of work that goes into it. I'd say I probably put in about 20 hours myself on what I do every week.
That's outside of what I do.
Outside of what he does, yeah. So between the two of us, we're putting in a full 40 hours easily. It's just that we split it up. Yeah,
it pays off in quality. If you want to give us any cash, let us know. But it pays off in quality.
Well, so. A little here and there, but it's nothing to write home about by any means. I think the thing that you have to really consider when you want to start a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, and that is commitment. And it is if you're going to start this thing, it's every week. Or at least whatever increment that you're going to set for yourself every 2 weeks
daily.
Or whatever it is.
No.
Yeah, you don't want a daily.
If you have the word random
weekly
in your podcast title, you can do it whenever you want.
Yeah, random's good, but it's absolutely a commitment because once you start, it's like an addiction. You just can't let it go, and it starts getting more and more and more, and it starts becoming part of your life, and you start planning your life around your podcast. We say we lost our lives, you know, we're all up here laughing, but I mean, it really does. It's a serious commitment that
there are compensations, though. I mean, let's not.
Oh, no, I'm not
like
saying it's a bad
thing.
Like
three pirates in the front row.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Pirates?
Yeah. Three beautiful pirates in the front row. So, yeah.
Here's an interesting question.
The pirates are all here because of me. I just want to let you know that.
I'm so glad no one knows about your podcast. That's great.
I'm telling you, your standing is going up.
No kidding, yeah. No, the reality is, as much time and effort we put into it every single week, I'll ask a question. I have actually questions for the panel and then question for the audience. Panelists, would any of you, if you had to do it all over again, would you not be doing it?
Hell no.
No. Nope, absolutely not.
Exactly. I mean, we love exactly what we do. So my question out there for you guys is, of the people who are currently thinking about doing a podcast, did this help?
Yeah.
And for those of you who weren't listening to podcasts beforehand, will you now? That's what I wanted to hear.
And if you haven't been a fan of pirates, do you now like pirates a little bit more?
All right. Just the ninja website. What's the realultimatepower.com? They rail on pirates a lot. So I came up with my own little theory about this, just to help the pirates out in the room. Why is it better to be a pirate than a ninja? Yes, pirates can show up to work drunk.
Okay, final question. Where's the fun room party tonight? Because I got nowhere to go after this.
The pirate room.
All right, we're going to the pirate room.
Actually, I have one interesting question going along with time for the panel. How many of you, raise your hands, are involved in a relationship with somebody else that is not doing a podcast with you?
I got a wife.
Other than my wife?
Old son.
And are these...
I don't know if that counts. Yeah. I mean, my wife is as much involved with
She means your wife, Mike, yeah, not I'm the sure. other one you're on.
I'm sure she does.
I keep hoping to have my wife do a book reviews. That's sort of the plan, is that my wife will start doing book reviews for my podcast. But
It's easy to talk about the time it takes.
It hasn't happened yet.
It's easy to talk about the time it takes and get the impression that, you know, it's all just pure sacrifice. And you give up everything else and you have to go to Tibet and become a monk in order to podcast. That's really not the case. It is a serious thing. And I'm reminded of Harlan Ellison, all the famous, so many writers say that there's kind of a philosophy out there in writing that if you can be discouraged from writing, then maybe you should be. Because it does take so much time, and the rewards take so long before they start coming back to you, that you really have to, if you have to write, then that's what, Meg Stackpole's shaking his head.
Yeah. Come on.
I said
build him up there, build him up.
I'm just quoting what I've heard, okay?
Come on, rah, 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 everybody charge out of the room.
But,
go buy mixers.
All I want to say is the same thing applies to podcasting, that you have to know ahead of time going in that it is a serious commitment. If you start getting an audience and you do it weekly, they're going to expect it from you every week. You can't just say, I'm sorry, I had to wash my dog tonight. You know, people don't dig that. And so if you're willing to do it, that's great. The rewards are fantastic, but you have to do it because something in you really wants to do it. You really have to have something you want to say and get out there.
Yeah, I'm sorry I don't have Wi-Fi at DragonCon, so I won't have a podcast till next week.
Do you have it on your computer? Because I got Wi-Fi. I can plug you in. Oh, sorry. Forget I said that.
We'll use any excuse we can get to take a break now and then.
Honestly, the other thing about doing a podcast every week is if you're going to do that, actually don't tell anybody you're going to do a podcast every week. It's much easier.
Yeah, buddy.
But actually, as I was driving down here, I have a very busy life, actually. I drove down here from Charlotte. I had five interrupted hours, or uninterrupted hours. And one of the things I did is I listened to a whole bunch. I've up to episode 36 or 37. And it's ridiculous. I listened to a whole bunch of episodes, which I haven't had a chance to do, because if I was listening to something, I'd be like, oh, Christ, I got to do another one. There was nothing I could do but drive in the car. And the most, aside from all the things that I would do different, or all the things that, you know, I liked, or, you know, just whatever, it was when I had the intro to the first episode, and I said I was going to do this by January 1st, and it was because I'm trying to convey emotion with my voice now, but I know my voice better than anybody else in the room, and when I heard myself say, this is the Shaunakee, it's January 1st, this is the Shaunakee, and I mean, from that point on, it was like, my God, I got this done. And from that point to this point, it's been like a blur. And I'm trying to figure out where to go with it. And it was just, it was the best feeling to hear that.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out for his podcast, actually, because it's effing brilliant. If you haven't heard it.
No kidding.
This will sell this whole room. Thank you all. He has a series in his podcast called How to Succeed in Evil. Okay, now you're all subscribed, right?
Sheer brilliance. Sheer brilliance.
It's amazing.
This is not how you know spell this, it.
How do you spell it?
Check it
you
out.
You spell it S-E-A-N. ACHAI.com. How'd I do? Did I do it right?
Go to TSF
Photographs.
TSFPN.com.
TSFPN. Pirates don't know how to spell.
It's Celtic for storyteller, is it not?
We know how to read that.
It's S E R. No, it's spelled like this. It's a Celtic word that means storyteller. Is it still the featured podcast? Excellent. For another 5 minutes, or?
Yeah, you've been featured for a long time.
Yeah. So okay, next.
Any more questions?
What are we talking about?
Does anybody know what we're talking about anymore?
I like podcasts. Please like podcast too.
I've got one.
You got one?
I've got one. All right. Why don't we all, other than your own, what's your favorite podcast?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, let's say not people on the table too.
Skepticality.
Yeah.
No. Perhaps.
Actually, there's a couple of I'm going to do two. Sorry, that I have recently discovered. Yeah, remember I've been listening to podcasts for a while now, and like I said, I have 54 of them, most of which are listened to by a lot of folks, and pretty much all of which are up here on the panel. I don't listen to all of the ones on TSFPN, by the way. I just don't have that kind of time. But anyhow, the two new ones that I have found that I think are really intriguing would be one's called Aware Tech, Aware T-E-K. Is that right? Yeah. Is that how you spell it? AwareTech.com. Yeah. That's pretty interesting and strange. Derek, did you turn me on to that?
I might have.
You might have done that. I forget where I heard it from, but that's an intriguing podcast. If you want to think about things differently, if you want to look at the world from not the conventional point of view and say, some of this shit ain't right, that's what they do on AwareTech. It's not a technology podcast. It's quite interesting. I've just recently discovered it. I'm on like episode 4. I have never before subscribed to a podcast and downloaded all of the beginning episodes. This is the first time I've ever done that. Normally, I just jump in the middle of it and do it. Well, I listened to you from the beginning, so you're all right. But this one I have, and it's very interesting. The second thing that I would recommend is another one that is put out by the guy named the Brooklyn Blues Man, and it's a strange music podcast. If you like eclectic tunes, things that aren't the same as everybody else, and I've just started getting into the music podcast, which is funny because most folks start listening to podcasts by listening to music. Brooklyn Blues Man does a pretty good one. It's called Getting a Leg Up, and I think it's at Leg Up. blogspot.com is his URL. Definitely worth checking out.
I would have to say Morning Stories. It's actually affiliated with WGBH, but this guy Tony Khan, he does a really, really brilliant job of interviewing people and then taking all of his questions out and weaving it into a story and sort of layering in just a few sound effects to really use the medium of audio in a way that is very powerful. I guess that would probably be one of the things I listen to a lot. I honestly, doing a podcast, I don't have enough time to listen to all the podcasts out there. I think my interests are definitely storytelling. I think another interesting thing that comes from podcasting is not just people like us up here who are, sort of balls out iconoclasts. We're going to do our own little thing. It also makes sort of fringe and weird programs more accessible to people. And there's a podcast called The Treatment, Elvis Mitchell out of KCRW in Los Angeles. And he interviews some very interesting people and talks about, the stories and the projects they're working on in a way that usually when somebody talks about a film or a project they're working on, it's just the standard, like, four-line talk show bullshit. Like he had Ricky Jay, who's a magician. And he's talking about this collection of posters that he has, that's sort of this traveling art collection. Just this really, really well-produced, every time somebody talks about it, I really like that show, too. That's, I guess, the two that are on my list. I want to keep the microphone and let him talk.
Yeah, I'm not going to be audacious enough to pick a favorite or anything, but one I've discovered recently that I'm really getting into, it's hard to find good comedy podcasts out there, good sketch comedy things. One I just discovered is called The Monster Feet Variety Show. And it's only like 6 episodes in or something, so probably nobody's heard of it. It's this guy out in Canada. It's an 8-minute weekly sketch comedy show. And it is just absolutely hilarious. I saw him post something on Podcast Alley, so I clicked in. Yeah, first thing, hi, I'm Carrington Vanston, and my anti-drug is alcohol. And yeah, it just kind of goes on from there. And yeah, the guy is really, really funny. And again, it's 8 minutes, and I can listen to anything for 8 minutes a week. So I think that one's definitely worth checking out. I think it's the funniest podcast.
What's the URL again? I'm checking that one out. That's
I don't know the URL. Just Monster Feet, you know, variety. iTunes thing, yeah.
All right, I'll figure that out.
Well, I like a lot of the geeky podcasts, Comicology.
You took good. Mine.
I take that back. I do not like the Comicology podcast. I could possibly get into a debate with my friend Jason here, but we don't have the time. I also like the Geek 4x4. They play, they actually introduced me to Ookla the Mock, who we're playing here tomorrow morning. So, but also, I do want to bring out one podcaster from Texas. It's this guy who's been in it for a long time, and he calls it the Trio Podcast, which gets him in trouble because he does it from his trio. It's not about trios, and like people give him crap all the time about, I thought I was going to learn about trios. He's like, just, and they want him to change his name, but it's just he keeps up with the community, and I try to read the forums, I try to read all the stuff, and I just get bored. And here's somebody who will actually listen to the Daily Source Code and listen to Adam Curry belch and talk about Senseo and like pull out little bits and pieces of actual news. And he'll give it. And he gives his own spin, but I like him. And so he's entertaining. And the thing is, he does his own beer cast. He drinks. And he's Texan. And he's real laid back. But dude's so intelligent. It's like it strikes you. It's, you know, I'm Southern, so I'll go ahead and go with the Southern stereotype of, you know, you start talking your accent and you start talking slow and people think your IQ just goes a little bit down. But the dude's so smart. And so it's the Trio Podcast. If you want to find out what's going on in podcasting, that's the one you listen to. Now you can talk about that's awful, awful.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so I'm the only one who likes the Comicology Podcast. No, it's Neil Gorman out of Chicago does a podcast where he talks about comic books that he likes, and he only reviews comics that he really likes, which so his enthusiasm is really infectious, and so it's really cool that way. I think maybe Murr likes it too. I also like there's a podcast out of Philadelphia called The Worst Music You've Ever Heard, which is sort of like what I do, where basically they just kind of babble about stuff and then they play music, independent music. And I really enjoy listening to them. And also, he listens to my podcast, so I like him. So that's what I have to say.
I like everybody else's podcast that's on this panel that's not mine. But I'll be honest, the reason why, and just as a little side note, the reason why is because it's content you can't get on any other broadband. You know, you can't, there's not...
Patrick McLean's also been drinking all day, so...
You know, to some extent, you know, what...
he has to come back, we've got stuff.
You know, like the stuff that Michael and Evo do and the stuff that Murr does and the stuff that everybody that's on this panel do is stuff that you don't find on the radio, or maybe you can find it deep in the recesses of XM, but still it's not on the TV, it's not really hard, it's hard to find, and it's really cool to be able to listen to it and not just have to get it off the web or have to order a book or have to just find your own community, even though that's all that's cool stuff, but it's neat to be able to get content that way. But as far as one of my favorite podcasts, and I'm going to bring this one up, and it's up on this board, is because a lot of you raised your hands when you said either you have or you want to do a podcast, and that's podcast411.com, the actual podcast. And if you're interested in podcasting, all Rob does is basically inside the actor's studio for podcasting, and he does a very good job at it. And he has on people that do podcasts on his show and interviews them in detail, and they're only 20, 25 minutes long. And it's really great because he asks very standard questions. And it's interesting to hear the different perspectives and what's similar. And it will give you a really good idea. If you listen to 5, 6, 7 of those and you're thinking about doing a podcast, do it. Before you do a podcast, listen to at least 6 or 7 of those shows. And just pick random ones, even people that you don't even know. Just pick some. And just listen, because a lot of the things are similar and a lot of things are different. But the similarities will give you a very good idea of all the things that podcasters go through.
I concur. If there's a show you should listen to, it's Podcast 411. If you, like you said, for 5 episodes, then you can unsubscribe if you don't care. I still listen to it after doing this for a year.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the only way I know what new podcasts are out there because how would I know otherwise?
Yeah, there aren't any directories.
I don't have time to look at directories.
There are now directories of directories.
Yeah. There are. It's scary.
Actually, podcast411.com has a directory of directories.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
There's like 58 of them last time we looked.
That's crazy. See, for old school stuff, a show that is on sporadically, but it's just a little different. One of the first podcasts I ever listened to is Whole Wheat Radio. And there are two people who live in Talkeetna, Alaska. And they talk about all sorts of kind of bizarre things. And if you, like, ever watch Northern Exposure or anything like that, you enjoy, like, irreverent humor. Enjoy Whole Wheat Radio. Also, let's see. Oh, I will plug my friends because it's very funny, and they are one of the best of the quote-unquote couples casts. And they script a lot of their stuff, and they're so good at it that most people don't even know. And that's the Nate and Di Show. And And they're having some new stuff coming out, but I don't think I can talk about it.
Patrick, did everything come out all right?
Are y'all good there?
Do you explain the scimitar?
Well, why are we stealing the pirate sword?
I didn't want to walk around unarmed in this convention. I just don't have a costume. I feel a little left out. I got a sword. It helps a little bit.
I still like Area 51. That's still one of the very highly produced podcasts out there. I like the, and I'm totally blanking on the name, the guys that do the ask the
5 questions.
Oh,
no.
What?
No. He, on the stars, they do the
Slacker Astronomy.
Yes, Slacker Astronomy. Thank you. Slacker Astronomy, very good podcast. It's got a little bit of science element to it. It's got a little bit of fun to it. It's a very interesting way of kind of watching the skies, so to speak.
On the stars. I love my partner. This is great.
On the stars.
Oh, and Michael A. Stackpole's The Secrets.
Yeah,
no kidding. Definitely. Hey, is anybody here want to be a writer? Are you listening to The Secrets?
Listen to The Secrets.
Because if you're not, you're dumb.
And also, you should listen to I Should Be Writing, the newest podcast by Murr.
Yep.
And is anybody out here an author?
Podcast.
Any authors in the audience? Yeah. One, two, three.
Michael.
There's a new little thing going on right now called patiobooks.com.
Patiobooks.com.
That you might have heard of. That should be live in beta this weekend and live officially week after
world
that. So
premiere.
Patiobooks.com. Are we done?
I think so.
I think we're a little over, aren't we?
We're edging 1 a.m.
Listen to podcasts.
Woo, and keep going.
Love your pirates.
We got a question.
Question from the EFF side of the table.
Just trying to.
Oh, we go till 1 a.m.
Oh.
Holy shit.
We have like 7 minutes left. Okay.
5, 7. Wow. Was that 5?
Okay.
Swoopy likes question. Monkeys. I know
people
this much.
Are showing us they have
one
no weapons.
Question.
We can
what
continue.
We
question right here in front. Yes.
Ah, the Times.
Kind of pissed, you know, where people are saying you guys are not professional.
Right.
What is your take?
Well, the great thing about podcasting is it covers the full gambit. There are those of us that are in this for business. There are those of us that are in this for fun, and there are those of us that are in here because it sounded like a cool idea. And gee, wouldn't that be neat, right? When you hear that podcasts are made by amateurs, that's kind of the wrong word to use. What we're providing, everybody
some
up here,
podcasts are made by amateurs.
Everybody up here, realistically, is really serious about what it is that we do. Michael and I are on, one of our shows is syndicated on the radio. The other two of our shows, well, at least one of them, there's no way it was syndicated on, and it didn't work.
Yeah,
Winging It cannot be syndicated. It's something we simply cannot do on traditional airwaves, as it was. We still treat it as serious. Yeah, even though we drink heavily during it. But we're still quite serious about our drinking, damn it.
Yes. Very serious about drinking.
It's just how you think about approaching it. You know, Mike and I happen to have radio backgrounds, as does Patrick, and as does Derek as well. But you don't have to do that. You know, it's about passion. It's about what you care about. It's about community. It's about citizens of the world producing the content that they want. And I really tried not to bring the soapbox out, but unfortunately,
I think you should stand up for
right
this
there. Speech. I know I can't do it. Nope. Hey, next, brother. Next. I've been drinking since 3. So.
Reporters have no clue.
That's
they
best.
Have no clue.
They haven't listened to a single
see,
show.
The thing is, it's like,
honestly, they're like it's a fad. I don't understand what's going on. Yeah. And I'm gonna stand up. I'm gonna stand up for this soapbox pitch. Most media today is influenced heavily by a structure of advertising and PR, so that lots of reporters in most major news outlets are pitch stories. So someone goes, hey, I got this great story you might like, and they go, well, God, I gotta have 3 martinis at lunch. And the story is sort of pre-digested for them, and they want to put that in. So it's all sort of piling on what will get them ratings. It's not really. I'm going to sit back down again. Now I'm nervous. It's not really necessarily what's happening out in the world. I mean, if you listen to him talking about his Winging It podcast, it's absolutely what he thinks. I mean, what I'm doing is different. I mean, I'm just. It's like a Snake River. It's like the Snake River Canyon jump. It actually can't really be done. The level of quality that I'm just writing. I said, all right, I'm going to take this year. I'm going to write my absolute fingers off, and then I'm going to try and make a podcast a week out of it.
Cool. So. And
I just want to add
another thing you learn, or at least I did, by when this all happened, is that we got some press as well. We had newspaper people come to the house. We had people from Business Week call us and do interviews. And the worst thing, the thing you learn real fast, if it's never happened to you, is they can't get a thing right. Even basic facts, and that was amazing to me. That like even where I work, I would email them, and they would still get it wrong. Yes.
Well, I just want to raise. Exactly. I just want to raise the point about the whole amateurs versus professional. The reason why it's getting press coverage at all is because it was getting listeners. It was getting a lot of listeners. Right. And the thing is, if you found podcasts that you like, or someone has recommended to you, does it matter? The whole amateur professional thing, The question is, we're putting out content because we want to put out content. A lot of you are also putting out content because you want to. People are listening because they want to. This is not a case where the lines have to mean anything.
But one thing that really could help that whole impression about what's amateur and what's not, blow the doors off of this, is if everybody here that either currently listens or soon will be listening to podcasts, if you just told one more person.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to do the Amway bullshit that goes along with that, right? But the reality is, this isn't something you listen to in your car unless you've made it overt action, too. Tell people there's something different than the crap, than the shit that they hear on radio now.
There's a very good reason why all DJs on radio are interchangeable. They're not allowed to say really what they think. I mean, you're just supposed to be radio personalities, but they all effectively have the same personality. I mean, any city you go to has the same pain in the ass morning show. Whatever it is. And then many of them are syndicated through many cities. But when you listen to a podcast, even podcasts that are just, somebody who's just, roaring off with a $5 mic, not the $15 mic.
The $50 mic is actually quite good.
I'm not criticizing. I'm criticizing the $5 mic.
The $5 mic sucks. Don't trust anyone who uses a $5 mic.
But what you get is someone is telling you exactly what they think. And especially in this age of political correctness, people hold opinions and beliefs deep within their heart that they're afraid to voice. Podcasting, I want to on
That's
my podcast.
Right.
Somebody tells me they don't like it, I'm like, I can say fuck
Good.
Again.
Fuck off.
I actually choose not to say fuck on the podcast most of the time. I
try not to.
It's actually funny. For a series of stories, it's actually been much, much funnier when I bleeped it out.
Yeah.
And so what makes podcasting great is that there's the human element,
We have more questions?
It doesn't sound like a radio show. Yeah, sounds like someone just talking to you, and sometimes someone just talking to you is really what you want to hear.
I've got a comment on that and a quick question, too.
Our
the amateur professional thing, you know what? Think of the people that want to entertain you as this huge pyramid, and most of us are at the bottom of the pyramid, and some of us got enough lucky breaks and stuck with it long enough that they have the public platform at the top of the pyramid, and they get paid for it. But that doesn't mean they're any more talented than those thousands of people making up the base of that pyramid.
That's right.
And that's my comment. Man. Now, my question is...
Which is why pirates are so awesome.
That's right. There's my question is, here. Can y'all each give me a quick estimate of how large you think your audience is?
Oh, boy.
We have approximately, across all three of our different shows, about 20,000 to 30,000 listeners. Just on podcasts. That's not counting what happens on XM Satellite, which is a whole new ballgame. But just the podcast by itself pulls in about that number on average.
If I was to give a precise number, I would say somewhere between 2,000 to 5,000. I have 5,000 unique visitors to the website a month. Close but
hard to gauge.
I got like, you know, my most recent podcast is downloaded like 2,000 times, you know, for the last couple of months. So.
Yeah. I got worst of all. Yeah, my first week stats, which is really what I'm looking at these days, each one I put out is, in the first week, downloaded about 1,500 times. And that's going up, so I'm happy.
Yeah, it's difficult to measure.
Yeah, I'm somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000.
I have like 150.
Woohoo!
wait.
No one.
But how many of that is pirates?
Yeah, actually, pirate numbers are hard to count because pirates are, by definition, sort of, you know, undefinable,
shifty, and hard to pin down.
They're very wily, and they don't like to conform to any sort of.
We're drunk.
And they're drunk. Yeah. No. My stats are very low. I'm the most unknown person here up at this table, and apparently I'm holding my mic way too close to my
pirate cheering section that's never listened to one of my podcasts.
Well, if and 150 is actually a very generous estimate. I think my average is actually like 102.
He knows how to really trash himself.
I suck.
You've got 75 fans in the front row.
Now to hear from the person on the panel who's been on iTunes top 100 list for the last 9-12 weeks. What's it been now, Derek?
Oh gosh, I don't know. We got all the way up to number one briefly.
Yep.
And now we're back.
Skepticality is an awesome show. It's all about science. I can hold the mic as close to my mouth as I want. The pirates demand it.
Oh, nice.
But when we were on the top 20 on iTunes, we actually got almost up to about 40,000. But since we've dropped off, our realistic numbers now are probably between 29 and about 33.
Another thing to point out is I don't think any of us care.
1,000. I only have 150.
you now have 200.
Yeah. No, honestly, I don't think any of us care about the aggregate numbers. I think we're much more interested in having listeners who are sort of involved with what we're doing and interested. I could, you know, the mass of people. Yeah, there's a reason people hate the public.
Let me add to that, because that's very true. We have all these people that download it, and I know now that they listen. I didn't know for the longest time, and we had this contest where we're going to give away an iPod. Boy, that brings people out of the woodwork. And we sent out a verification email. Hey, if this was really you when you entered, please enter, respond so we know that we're giving away an iPod to a real person. And every single person that responded back said, oh, and I love your show. And then some people wrote like paragraphs. So then I ended up with thousands and thousands and thousands of multi-paragraph emails. And before that moment, and Merv brought this up too, we had 5-6 emails a week. And so I was like, how do we have this many people listening and yet one voicemail a week and, you know, 5 emails?
It's weird. I got an email from a guy with his two daughters who loved my first podcast, which is all about a drunken vampire living in my attic. And they're like young kids.
Wow.
You have no idea what's out there.
Well, I think part of, too, about the media perception of amateur versus professional is because big media doesn't know what to make of podcasting. And as soon as iTunes came out and there were independent podcasters, assuming from the small number there were at that time of actual podcasts there were, a lot of the people on the top 20 were independent. And as soon as big business like ESPN and ABC saw that, all of a sudden they had shows. And so, like, and every radio station that had a morning show had a feed now, and they had a show. And so
the morning show still sucks, though, even though they have a feed.
Yeah, I had I was reached number 34 on Podcast Alley in June. And then when iTunes came out in July, I have not cracked the top 50 since. And I ended August at 100.
Aww.
I'm like number 612.
How many people listen to?
Because I have like 150 listeners. Right. Yeah, have I mentioned that?
And you suck.
Oh, you've never looked?
And I suck and pirates love me, but what? Pirates don't vote
pirates
because
they're turning against you. Put the mic down.
Wow. Yeah. That's really good.
Well, that's what the question was.
Well, I didn't know. Because honestly, I do what I do because I do it and because I can do it for a label and because I enjoy it. And I know people listen because people buy the records, so I know they're listening. And I never looked at the numbers. But Derek says I have like 2,500. So that's fantastic. And the feedback I get says, we like this music. We're glad it's out there. We're buying the album. So, and like the people from The Signal, people know it's out there. They're promoting a movie. That's going to be huge. So, and a lot of that is because of them.
Woo.
We know so.
Yeah, the question is what advantage do you have in this arena if you have a whole lot of money? Radio stations have an advantage because the licensing process from the FCC is a huge pain in the ass. I mean, the way the I don't know if the EFF has a perspective on this, but the way that bandwidth in terms of radio has been regulated in the United States is just a really screwed up thing. But what are they going to do? They're still putting content in a format. And it costs nothing to put it in the format and to connect with an audience. And whether you say professional or amateur, what you put out there, the best content will out, and I totally believe that. Whatever anybody wants to talk about, you know, whine about, complain about on either side of the fence, if something's good, people have a way to get it.
Yeah, well, that's the bottom line. Let me leave you all with this on numbers and how many listeners you have. We are in both markets. We're in the podcast market. We're in traditional market. We've been in traditional market for quite a while. And our estimated listenership over terrestrial radio and satellite and so forth is somewhere around anywhere from 500,000 to 2 million listeners. However, I will take our 30,000 podcast listeners over them any day, because those numbers on terrestrial radio and on satellite radio are based on the listener, the occasional listener or the accidental listener that is tuning into the show for 5 minutes while they're driving to the store to get bread. They don't hear the entire show. The majority of the people that are tuning into us that are being counted are not actually listening to our entire show. Podcast listeners, on the other hand, are transcribing our entire one-hour show to the point of where if we make any odd comment here and there, we get a three-page email about the comment and how wrong we were about stating that. We never got that in the 3 years that we were on traditional radio or through satellite. And I know that we had, according to the numbers, we had substantial amounts of listeners. We don't get the feedback from traditional radio that we do from podcasts. Podcast listeners are awesome. We love you because you people really talk to us, and the feedback that we get from you is it makes us better, and it makes us want to do what we do more.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, it's about time to wrap it up. So,
so where's the good party again, pirates?
Yes. Where's the pirate party?
Where's the pirate party?
And pirates, going? Though, although
you are the party.
Not very communicative, you are pirates, and therefore, you are awesome.
All right. Well, you can find us online if you got any more questions or anything. But thanks for coming on.